Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers. Go to jameshbrown.com.
Wickets. Okay, appreciate you tuning in tonight. Memorial Cup game coming up at 7, Quebec and Peterborough, so we'll keep you updated what's going on in that one over the last hour of the show. Blue Jays looking good so far today. It is the top of the fifth in Toronto. Jays leading Milwaukee 7-2. 780-496-0063 is how you can get in touch. Our off-topic topic, which, and the reason I started talking about this was because election coverage, and I enjoyed watching the folks from Chorus on Global TV last night. We simulcast it here on the radio as well after Inside Sports ended. We had David Akin at the did they call it the big board? I don't know. The TV, right? Where he's interacting, the touchscreen TV, zooming in on the ridings, giving the live results and all that kind of stuff. So I was saying I couldn't imagine election coverage without that. I mean, even if I was invited to watch like a junior high class president of election, you know, like in White Court or something, I'd be like, you have to show me the results on the big board. A lot of drama in that White Court election, by the way. A lot of drama. Those grade eights are insane.
My question is, and you were around to live for it and that stuff, is how they did elections back in like the 80s and the early 90s, where all the advents of graphics on television.
Yeah, it wasn't even graphics. It would just be somebody walking through the across the in front of the anchor desk with a sheet of paper.
Oh, and literally you just have to try to catch them.
No, they would just be, it would be like sort of the ring girls in boxing holding up the card, what round it is. It would just, somebody would walk by. No, there were actual graphics in the 80s. But
right.
Yeah, before that with elections, I don't know. Maybe they just did just hold up sheets of paper. I don't know, baby.
There was a lot of people smoking in newsrooms back then, too.
There was a lot more smoking on television, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway.
I love those shots where you see a screen capture of some old news program, and it was usually a guy, because there's smoke coming up from a ashtray next to him on the anchor desk. Yeah. I could be smoking the entire time I'm doing the show. Nobody knows.
It's very much frowned upon now in this building, but
yeah, I'm not doing that, everybody. And kids, don't smoke.
Okay. With that, we'll go to the text line here, and our buddy Yakishev texts in and says,
"Yeah, he's funny.
Hello, Reed and Kellen. I would be absolutely devastated if they got rid of the blue comet tail on the puck. It would never be the same watching a hockey game without it."
He's flashing back to Fox tried a lot of things in
Fox
the 90s.
Tracks.
Some of them worked, some did not. The blue comet tail on the puck, not well received by traditional hockey fans.
We also got Corey at work, and he texts in and says, "I guess I would have to say I really enjoy watching baseball and the strike zone graphic. You can see where the ball crosses the plate and whether or not it was in the strike zone. It makes me wonder why umpires are needed at all. Thanks."
Okay.
From Corey at work.
Corey, thank you for that. Let me know where you're working, and I hope you don't get in trouble for listening to and interacting with Inside Sports on the job. We had a few years ago. See, this is the thing that happens, Kel. Things pop up during the show.
I think I remember this.
I hate being inaccurate about things, but sometimes we got to talk about things. It was before the pandemic, so I don't know. Probably it might have been 2019. It might have been the summer of 2019. There was a league that was using robotic umpires, the robotic eye.
Right.
And there was still, I can't remember the league, but there was talk about, is it going to go into the big leagues? So it had whatever cameras or sensors they used for the strike zone, but there was still an umpire behind the plate, and they would get something in an earpiece, so they would still say strike or ball, but it was a robotic umpire.
Mm-hmm.
And man, this is the thing. I have no idea if I could come up with this on the fly to find any audio from it, but it's interesting that he says that. Is that going to be the next innovation? Like, if we're doing Inside Sports in 10 years from now, Or are we going to be like, yeah, robotic umps? Thank goodness they save baseball.
Mm-hmm.
That on the pitch clock.
And
more steroids, let's face it.
And the games are 20 minutes quicker than they are now.
Quite a bit quicker, which is I do think that's positive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We'll go to Kim on a text line, too, and says, hi, Reed. I love the sound of sports. The crack of the football helmets, squeak of shoes on a basketball court, or spray of the ice skate in hockey. I think the sounds of the game have really improved. And I think there was another one here that was very similar. I don't have who sent it in, so my apologies. But they thought the biggest innovation was for radio broadcasts having the arena sound in the background, so you could kind of get a sense to help feed your mind happening.
Yeah, well, we get those, what do they call them, the rink effects mics? You would know better than I do.
Yeah, rink effects.
And sometimes you get some naughty language on those mics.
It does happen, yes.
It can be a little titillating, so you got to be careful with that. I'll tell you something that happened. When they did the bubble playoffs in 2020, mm-hmm. as people probably remember or will be reminded of here, Jack and Bob called the – we only had four Oilers playoff games because they lost to Chicago. Jack and Bob called those games off monitors in the very room I'm in now. I'm still using that room to host Inside Sports because we have a couple really nice TVs in here. Speaking of high definition and big screen, we're tying this all together. So they called the games from here off, mm-hmm. and there's two big TVs here now, but I think they had three or four because they had a couple different camera angles. They had, you know, a view of the clock and I think some of the stats on the screen. But we had to get the rink effects mics because it would have sounded wrong, right? If you would have turned on the radio and heard the game and it's just Jack and Bob, even without that little bit of background noise, and of course there were no fans, so yes, it sounded differently anyway, but without hearing the skates or the odd shout or the puck hitting the boards or the glass, that would have sounded odd. Right. So and yes, that has improved over the years with the placement of mics and improved audio quality and things like that. That's a good one. We're getting some really good ones here. Ones I didn't think of myself, which mm-hmm. is good.
Yes. Greaser texts in and says that he thinks super slow motion is very cool.
They did not have super slow motion when I was a young man. I think that started. Might have started in the 80s. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's incredible because it's not the. The slow motion still would be a little fuzzy, right? Yeah. Like it couldn't totally slow it down. No, it's totally slowed down.
I'm thinking of the old NFL films, you know, the tape compilations they released back in the 80s and that stuff. And you see the super slow motion ISO of the quarterback getting sacked in the pocket or, you know, somebody completing a big 30-yard pass for a touchdown or something like that, right?
All right. Keep those coming in. Those are fun. 780-496-0063. We'll get to Kelly Rudy when we get back.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law.
Okay, he joins us every week throughout the hockey season. Former NHL goaltender, now a broadcaster, powered by Sentinel Storage. Shop Canadian, store Canadian. Head to sentinelstorage.ca. Kelly Rudy. Kelly, how are you doing?
Well, normally, Reed, I always say I'm doing wonderful or something similar. And today I'm going to say I am doing wonderful, although I'm tired. I just flew back early this morning from my, 6 or 7 week stint in Toronto. And so I'm really enjoying a nice lazy day here at the house. And we're going to barbecue with one of our daughters able to come over today. And so it'll just be the three of us. It'll be really relaxing.
Well, thanks for taking time to make an appearance on Inside Sports on otherwise a day off. We appreciate that. But that sounds like a nice, rewarding day. But you're getting back on a plane soon. So are you doing the Cup Final? Are you going to be in Toronto or did you get to go to Sunrise and to Las Vegas?
Yes, luckily the latter. We get to go to the two remaining cities. So Friday afternoon, I'm hopping back on a plane to go to Vegas and for the first two games, of course, and then we fly on to Florida and cover the remaining games. So it's really, I've been doing that part of it. Well, other than I think 2 years of the pandemic where we weren't allowed to travel for part of it. As you know, the bubble was in Edmonton for the Stanley Cup and then the next year, Tampa and Montreal, I declined to travel. Some of our co-workers were willing to travel and I wasn't. But having said that, I've been doing this, going to the finals for, I'm going to say, well, I've been doing this job for 24 years on a full-time basis. I'm going to say I've probably gone to the finals for 18 or 20 years consecutively. So it has, there's nothing like it. There's the atmosphere is amazing. It seems like every year is a little bit different, and I have fond memories of every season, every playoff for different reasons. Like I really, one of my favorite was Washington Capitals in Vegas in the inaugural season of the Golden Knights, and I just remember flying back and forth across the country, but really cool memories, and we had so many late night dinners with my coworkers, and the hockey was amazing. I still remember the Braden Holtby save late in the third period to preserve the victory. And you know, the year after that, St. Louis and Boston playing, and for different reasons. You know, I love that one. Boston happens to be one of my favorite cities in the National Hockey League. So all these years that I continue to do this, they just add different sorts of memories. It's awesome.
Well, that's cool, and that would be interesting to see the vibe in the different cities and how the fans are supporting a team in the championship series. I wonder what it's going to be like in – I mean, Sunrise, as probably people know, is a little north of Miami, Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. I wonder what it's going to be like with the heat in the NBA Finals at the same time.
Oh, I know. Well, I've experienced that in quite a few different places, including 93 when our LA Kings went to the finals with Montreal. And I remember, and that first round, we played Calgary, and I believe it was like there's 37 degrees in LA when the playoffs started. And so it's far different to, as a player, as a broadcaster, it's much harder as a player. But my wife and I went to Safeway today to get a couple of groceries for the barbecue. And my wife was telling me when I get to Vegas on Friday, I think it's 33 and it gets up to 37, I believe, both Saturday and Monday for game day. So it's going to be a real challenge for the arena to keep the ice in decent shape. It's going to be hard for the players to stay hydrated, and it'll be hard for us broadcasters to get enough red wine in our system to stay hydrated.
Yeah, that's how you hydrate. And it's funny because I was going to ask you about the two warm weather cities, but in that question I meant the Miami Heat of the National Basketball Association.
Oh, right. Okay, I got it.
Both the Panthers and the Heat are playing for the title.
Oh, totally. So I forgot.
So I bet in the Miami area. Amazing. Yeah. I mean, I know, Knicks and Rangers 94 was the big example.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see which series, and you'll have to tell us when you're there, is getting more hype, more coverage, and that kind of stuff. Because they both underdog teams that have made it all the way to the championship.
Well, you know what's cool, though, and I'm sure you saw it, how Charles Barkley is such a huge hockey fan. And so he's for years and years and years, he's been raving about the NHL playoffs. And it was so cool to see them invite Matthew Tkachuk on the set of their NBA playoff coverage and how they embraced him. And you know, I watched that whole segment. I was like, this is really cool. And they didn't need to do it. And it's a really cool cross promotion for both sports. And Matthew is pretty much one of the best guys to do it because he's really inviting. He's really open-minded. He gets it. He understands how to have some fun and also share some truth. And so I thought that cross promotion was great for both sports.
Kelly Rudy joining us today on Inside Sports. Okay, so speaking of the action on the ice, Aiden Hill, what a story.
Yeah.
You know, Oilers couldn't, he pretty much held off the Oilers in game 6. And no one would have believed that at the start of the season, probably that he'd be the goalie for Vegas going into the Cup final. What do you see from this guy? What's working for him?
Well, it goes back a little bit. There's always been this feeling around him that, you know, if he could sort of put it all together, that there are a lot of people that had high expectations for him. And that's why when Vegas knew they're running into the start of the season with some issues with the health of their goaltenders. They sent a draft choice to San Jose in late August, and they brought him in, and I don't think they ever expected this kind of play out of him. But at 27 years old, it looks like he's really figured out. One of the things we showed last night on the broadcast, in the second period, now they're cruising along. I think it was 4-0, I believe, at that point. And Pavelski, I think it was, shot one right off his mask, and he asked Kelly Sutherland in the TV timeout if he could go get his mask fixed. And so what we noticed when he went to, because we have cameras on the players on the bench, right, watching while the TV commercials are being played, so the people back home wouldn't see what we're seeing. And so I spotted Aiden Hill and the equipment managers working on his mask, and they're, you know, having a couple problems. But Ray Ferraro was right in front of him between the benches, and also without any partition was Scott Wedgwood. And I don't know who said something, whether it's Wedgwood or Ferraro, we were unsure, but Aiden Hill just looked over at him and had a really brief little exchange of some sort of conversation. I thought, wow, is that ever interesting? Because he was so relaxed. Most goaltenders wouldn't get engaged in that sort of thing. And one of my producers today, when I landed here in Calgary, sent me this real interesting stuff about what he does in warm-up. And it just, you know, he's kicking pucks, he's flipping pucks over his back and catching them in his catching glove, and all these, what I'd say, non-traditional sort of things are just to keep him relaxed. And number one for me, he just, we haven't seen any signs where he's looked as though the pressure is getting the best of him. And I don't know if he can keep it up for another round. I suspect he will, because we, like I said, we haven't seen any indication, but this is going to be a great matchup between these two goalies.
Yeah, well, and we've talked about Bobrovsky before, and he's been awesome for the Panthers. The rhythm of the playoffs can be a little different, especially if you win a series quickly, as the Panthers did, and then, you know, Dallas extended this other one. I still think rest is a good thing. I always think rest is a good thing, and you can't lose games you don't play, right? So having said that, with about a week and a half for Florida, is what's the best way to manage that for a team when they have that long break?
I don't know if there's any ideal way to manage it, because it's so unusual. I think there's a balance, though, between rest and rhythm, and I don't know what that number is. Rest, there's no question about it. That's extremely important, and more so now with the style of game and how fast it's played, and it just seems as though there's fewer breaks in the season for players to rest. But I still think there's a healthy amount of rhythm that you need also. Otherwise, like, I can't speak for a skater. I know for a goaltender, if you go, let's say, 3 days without game action, that takes you out of your rhythm. I don't care how hard you practice. I don't care how many practices you have in a row. There's nothing like game action. And so I will be curious to see if Bobrovsky loses a little bit of that sharpness that he's shown so far in the playoffs. Because, you know, when you have traffic in front of you and big bodies, and, you know, you're looking through screens, you're trying to find pucks, you just can't replicate that in a practice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Kelly, enjoy the travel, enjoy the two cities, and enjoy the series. I think certainly going to be a very interesting one, and we'll catch up again next week, buddy.
You got it. Thanks, Reed. Take care.
That is Kelly Rooney checking in, as he does every week here on Inside Sports, presented by Sentinel Storage. Shop Canadian, store Canadian. Head to sentinelstorage.ca. It's funny, I mentioned the Heat. I meant the Miami Heat, and he talked about the actual Heat, which is also relevant in these two cities, playing a game on ice, but it's going to be quite hot in the two places. Anyway, always fun to have Kelly on the show, and Hill versus Bobrovsky, of course, the goaltending, one of the more important matchups in a Stanley Cup final. We will get to the news and weather. Oh, we're going to have some fun in the next half hour. Mookie Mitchell, one of the all-time greats in the Canadian Football League, living in Edmonton since he wrapped up his career with the green and gold. He's going to check in. Thanks for checking out the show. Talk to you in a few minutes.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.